Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Throwback, where Laura tells us a story about how she almost became a fresh face model. We wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get to it. Hey, welcome to episode 142. Hey, Laura.
Hi, Shauna.
How's it going over there? What's going on in your world?
Well, I have a two-week-old, and this week we went to our two-week checkup, which is a thing you do, if you remember.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about all the checkups at that age. How did that go?
Great. I mean, the two-week checkup is essentially like a weigh-in. You know, it's not really much of a checkup. I assume that they can catch things if they're really going badly. But all in all, I think the doctor basically wanted to weigh the baby and measure the baby to make sure he was growing, right? And the big thing, according to my doctor at the two-week checkup, is to make sure that you are at least at your birth weight for the baby, right?
Oh, right.
For people who are, you know, still TTC or haven't had their baby yet, I was surprised by this. And I know we've talked about it on the show, but I didn't realize that all babies, I mean, I don't think there's any babies that don't do this. Basically, all babies lose weight in the first week, right? Out of utero. And the goal is to not lose too much weight. I think they say like up to 10% of your body weight or their body weight, I should say.
That sounds right.
Is considered normal. I have to say that it freaked me out with my first baby because I had, you know, you just expect them to come out and just keep growing. And they lose this weight and then they like doctors start getting worried and like try to make sure that they're gaining weight and you get all fixated on it. I know with CC, you had a lot of issues with that, right?
Yeah, for several weeks.
Yeah, so that's basically what the two-week checkup is. So the good news is that my baby is a beast. And he was 7 pounds, 12 ounces already at his checkup. And he was born at 7 pounds. So he's 12 ounces over his birth weight. So I think we're doing fine.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think you're okay.
Yeah. So the exciting thing about that, though, is that I asked the doctor if that meant that I still needed to, like, wake him up for his feeds at night.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had, like, set alarms for every 3 hours at night just to make sure he was getting enough food because he's pretty sleepy. So I thought, you know, he might be that kind of baby who sleeps too long and doesn't get enough food. And she said that's only really a concern when they're still below their birth weight. So she was like, you're fine. Don't set alarms anymore. And I was like, yes.
So you just wait for him to wake up?
Exactly. And of course, that night he woke me up every 2 hours like clockwork.
He's like, you thought you had it easy. No.
Yeah, but, you know, at least I don't have to set an alarm. It was such a pain. Like, I'd wear my watch to try to time it. And, like, I'd be like, okay, it's always from the start of your feed. That's the other thing no one tells you when you're pregnant is, like, you need to feed them every 2 to 3 hours when they're newborns. But that's from the start of their feed. So if they feed for, like, 20 minutes and then you have to, like, burp them and keep them upright for another 20, that's 40 minutes. So now you have an hour and 20 minutes left.
Yes. I thought that was just so crazy. Oh, that drove me nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm really glad to not have to at least have a timer on that. So that was good.
Yeah. Good. Yeah.
And then in toddler land, my toddler is 25 months now. And this week, he's like really having a major potty training regression that is kind of getting worse and worse. Thankfully, it's only pee. He hasn't had any poop regression. So that's a real bonus because it's a lot easier to clean up pee. But, you know, it had gotten to the point where he would just like stand there and look at us and just pee in his pants and then not care at all. And we've tried doing all this stuff, like really making a big deal out of it and trying to take him to the potty right afterwards. And I know he knows how to hold his pee because when we go on a walk, he holds his pee. Like when we go to the park, he holds his pee for an hour and a half. It's not a problem. It's just that he is choosing not to. And it's gotten to the point where Corey was like, I think we need to put him back in diapers. Like, this is just too much.
How many accidents was he having every day?
Like 3 or 4. But then he'll go a day where he doesn't have an accident. It's so weird. So
yes,
I don't know. Thankfully, you know, my mom's in town and sometimes she has a lot of unsolicited parenting advice that's a little annoying because it contradicts like what Corey and I are trying to do.
Yeah.
But this time I was glad to have her backup because I don't think it's time to put him back in diapers.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't either. So we both were able to like overrule Corey on this one because I just think like it's obvious to me that it's because his little brother is here, you know, like it's,
yes.
And it's so funny. I gave away my copy of the Oh Crap potty training book because I was like, we're done with this. We're all trained. It's great. So I can't look at the like chapter about regressions.
Oh, no.
So I went to the Facebook group for the Oh Crap potty training method because I needed to like see what was going on. And I searched for regressions. And it's so interesting. Like every single post, it was either we have a new baby and my perfectly trained toddler is now regressing, or the molars are coming in. And if you recall, I talked about this in a previous episode when his other molars were coming in, that he had a little bit of a regression. Well, I felt back in his mouth and his final molar is coming in. So that like just barely poking out. Like there's just like the little tips of the tooth poking out, you know? So I'm like, okay, it's a 2-for-1 situation. He's got a new brother and a molar coming in. Like this is prime time for regression. I don't think we should put him back in diapers. I think we should just deal with it and try to keep him on track. So that's what we're doing.
Are you going back to commando or no underwear? What's how are you handling it?
I'm not doing that yet. I'm just sort of, we're just changing him a lot. I think our new plan is not to overreact to the pee accidents because they seem to be cries for attention, right? So if we don't give it like so much attention to it, maybe they'll stop or go away. And just prompt, like all the time. Time to go potty, time to go potty. Try to like stay on a schedule with it. Always potty before and after getting in a high chair, which like the high chair is one of the spots he tends to have a problem with. And then try to spend more like one-on-one focus time with him. So, you know, I think part of it is that his mommy cup isn't full, right? Because I'm so distracted with the baby. And he's spending a lot of time with daddy, but not a lot of time with B. So I think I need to focus on doing that. So that's the plan. Don't make a big deal. Prompt a lot and try to get more one-on-one time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when you were checking the Oh Crap Facebook group, did anyone say how long these regressions lasted, like for new siblings?
Well, that's the thing. Like I was reading, I was just reading through all the comments because it's kind of cool to be able to read through a post from a year ago and see if anyone updated it, right? And it was totally like all across the board. Some people were like, well, it's been months and it's still happening. And some people were like, oh, it stopped after 3 days. So I don't know. Like, I don't know how long to expect it to happen. And we're just going to try to go with the flow and see if we can get him through at least the molar coming in and get him a little bit more comfortable with, you know, this big life change that happened with him. So
Yeah, huge life change. And you're only 2 weeks in.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's so soon. So but that's us this week. Lots of costume changes for the toddler.
Yes.
And a little squirmy baby that's fattening up. He's getting good. You can see it in his cheeks too. And he's starting to get that little roll in his forearm. It's like coming. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, the little bread rolls in the arms.
Yes, it's starting to So very excited to have a
How's his baby acne?
Oh, it still sucks. It's getting a little, like it comes and goes. Some days it's a little better and then it'll flare up again. So, and he's got, he has what Gory and I call grayscale. I don't know if you watch Game of Thrones, but it's just a.
Yeah, I'm familiar with grayscale.
It's on his forehead. It's just super dry skin. And all I want to do is put some like intense lotion on it. But apparently you're not supposed to put lotion on the baby acne. So I just have to look at his crusty forehead.
Hopefully that clears up soon.
Yeah. Anyway, oh, that's it for me. I want to hear what's going on with you this week, though. What's going on in the world of Elle and Cece?
All right. Well, they are good. I have a couple things to check in about. The First,
Okay.
So we had an episode several back where I was like, oh, things are overwhelming with Cece. No, like the pie train's not going well. But I made all these decisions and I can't go back on them. And right, I went back on diapers. We already know that. And that's still going fine. She's still a diapered child. Pull up child. And so the other thing that I was like, I don't know, you know, I switched her over to a toddler bed when she was like 19 months old. And that was kind of a problem. Like, it was really great for a long time. It was totally fine. And then she kind of discovered that she could get out and, you know, go to the door. And
yeah,
if she's upset, she kind of tantrums at the door and you can't get in and blah, blah, blah. And so recently, she's just been having a lot of trouble at night, in the middle of the night, and Steve deals with her wake-ups like 95% of the time because he's amazing, and I have a lot of trouble sleeping and getting back to sleep, so he kind of handles that.
He's a night owl too, right? I feel like much more than you are.
More so than I am. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He has a more regular sleeping schedule now, but yeah, more of a night owl. He can get back to sleep at the snap of a finger, right? It takes me forever.
Ugh, so jealous. I can't do that.
So jealous. Cannot do that. So I took the monitor and I was like, you know what? You had a rough night and you sleep and I'll take the monitor. And she woke up a couple times, you know, crying, upset, but she gets out of bed and goes to the door, right? At like 2 a.m. And I feel like I can't just let her cry it out and put herself back to sleep because she's out of bed and she's at the door.
Yeah, she's standing at the door. You find her in the morning, like slumped against the door.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. And so I have to go in and pick her up and do this whole rigmarole. Mm-hmm. And I think I did it twice. So I basically slept in 3-hour increments as if I had a newborn.
I know how that feels.
And I'll, yes, you do know how that feels. You can sympathize. So the next day I was like, Steve, this is crazy. I don't know how you do this. And he's like, well, it's not all the time. And I'm like, it seems like it's been a lot lately. And this is a problem that needs to be solved. You know, when it affects me, especially, I'm like, solve that problem right away.
Yeah. You got to get that Shauna Maiko action on it. Solve that yeah, problem.
Exactly. And so I was like, what she needs, I think, is sleep training in the middle of the night to learn how to put herself back to sleep. This has been the age old problem with Cece. She goes to bed at night at the beginning of her sleep really well. Like occasionally she'll have a problem, but we never had to sleep train her really at going to bed. But she'll wake up in the middle of the night and have some trouble going back to sleep. And it's like, who wants to sleep train in the middle of the night? Nobody, right?
No, it's awful.
Especially if she's getting out of bed, like it's just not going to work. And I'm like, she needs to put herself to sleep at night. She shouldn't be crying for you or for us in the middle of the night, unless she's having a night terror or something. And so I just got this grand idea. I was like, let's just put her crib back together and put her back in the crib. I know I said I wouldn't ever go back on that. She might hate it. She might climb out. I really don't know, but I feel like we need to do it so she has a safe place to go back to sleep in the middle of the night.
So you haven't done it yet?
No, I did it.
Oh, you did it. Okay.
Yeah.
What did Steve think?
He's so sweet. Half the time I have these wild ideas, he's like, okay. And I think half the time he thinks I'm just musing and that maybe I'll get around to it, you know, down the line. And I'm just like, no, you don't understand. I mean, today.
I mean, now. Like, I need you to get that attachment now and the screwdriver.
Exactly. I was like, an hour after I came up with this idea, I said, hey, do you want to help me with that crib? He's like, do what with the crib? I was like, put it back together. What are you talking about? We just talked about it. He's like, no, I'm doing something else. I'm like, fine, I'll figure it out myself. So I got the drill and put it back together. And, you know, I had read some stuff on forums about it, about going back to a crib. And some people did it. You know, it's not like I'm the first person in the world to ever done this. And one person suggested getting a new stuffed animal or lovey to kind of make that an exciting thing. You know, it's like, oh, you have a new bed set up, a new lovey, and like try to make it really exciting in case the kid's not excited about it. So I got her a little turtle stuffed animal from Target, went and picked it up. I came home, was like, Cece, do you want to help me put together your new bed? And she's like, yeah. And, you know, she went in and helped me do the drill and I made her a part of it. And when it was done, she was really excited. She's like, new bed, my new bed, and wanted to get inside and put all her animals in there. And it occurred to me that she was so young when we took her out of the crib that to her, this isn't a step back. she doesn't remember that.
It's just different.
You know what I mean? Like, this was just a change. It's just a different bed.
Interesting.
It wasn't a babyish bed.
Interesting.
Yeah, so she had no problem with it. She was really excited about it. I put her in and I said, there's one rule. You do not climb out of the bed. You need mommy or daddy to help you get out of the bed. Mm-hmm. And she's like, mama help, daddy help, bed. And I'm like, yep, you don't get out of the bed yourself. And every time she started to try to climb, I was like, no, no, no. And that was several days ago. At first, it was kind of a similar situation. Like, it didn't seem like it made an instant effect. But over a few days, it seemed to get better. Like, she'll fuss in the middle of the night, but turn around, you know, turn over in her bed and fuss and stuff. But then just go back to sleep instead of getting out of her bed, kind of half sleepwalking to the door, making a big fuss and making one of us get out of bed. So ooh. I think it's been a really big success.
Wow. So I think I wasn't shy about telling you when you took her out of the crib into the toddler bed that I didn't think that was like, I thought that was a very unusual choice, I guess I should say. I was just like, okay, if you think that's what she needs to do, because I mean, and I figured it maybe it was just because she's so different personality wise, so much more like independent about things than my guy, but my guy is like, I'm keeping him in that crib as long as possible because he's just not ready. Like, first of all, he would just roll right out of it. He flops around everywhere, but yeah, he doesn't have any interest. And I'm like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But it sounds like you were like, if it broke, let's fix it back up.
Yeah, let's fix it. I mean, I honestly don't even remember why I transitioned to the toddler crib this summer. I can't remember, probably because quarantine brain.
Oh, I do.
Yeah. Why?
I remember because Elle wanted to get into it. Remember you were saying like Elle was obsessed with it for some reason.
Oh,
do you remember?
Yeah.
That's what you told me. That's what you told our listeners. Elle was like obsessed with the crib and being a baby, and you figured like, let's just get rid of the crib.
That's right. She really was obsessed with the crib and bugging me to get her a crib and make her room like a crib and was protesting her own bed, etc. And then I was like, well, Cece's fine at sleeping and she's so independent. I don't think this is going to bother her. And it really wasn't a problem for a long time until now. And, you know, the last couple months, I guess. So
yeah,
we have backtracked on two of our major parenting decisions with this one. Oops.
But I think that's like the whole, I don't think backtracked is the right way to look at it. You're adjusting. You tried something out to see if she was ready. You determined she wasn't, and you've just adjusted it. Like, it's not, I think it has unnecessary negative connotations to say you're backtracked, you know?
That's true. Well, it feels embarrassing.
Really?
Here's the thing. You know, I made these decisions and they didn't work out. And so it's embarrassing to admit that, like, oh, I'm going back to the crib. Yeah, if it weren't quarantine and I were out and about in playgroups and stuff and, like, talking to other parents and I were like, yeah, we went back to a crib. I mean, I probably wouldn't admit that. It's embarrassing.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like a failure.
Oh. Yeah. Well, it's not a personal failure. It's not a failure at all. It's just a way to do things. Like, again, it's not like she's not 16, you know? She's not 10 and being put back in a crib. She's 2.
Yes.
She's barely 2. And you were already, you know, my mom keeps actually reminding me of this with the potty regression we're having, because you could argue that we did the same thing. Like, we trained him too early, right? And that's why this regression is happening. And maybe it's not a regression. Maybe it's just that he wasn't ready. So, and my mom keeps saying, like, most toddlers his age aren't trained already. So it's not like an actual regression. It's like just normal behavior for a kid that age. It's like within the range of normal behavior. So there's no reason to kick ourselves for it. And also it's like, we're just trying to make our kids happy and sleep, you know?
Yes. Yes.
Sleep is important.
The happier we can all be is really the goal.
Yeah. Well, I don't think you should be embarrassed. I think it's a great idea. And clearly she's not like, I think maybe if she was freaked out about it, right? You said, we're going back to the crib. And she was like, no, no, like didn't want it. That would be different. But she's just like, cool, new bed.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. There's nothing to be embarrassed
about. She called
about.
It her new bed for like a week. She's like, new bed.
It's cute.
And I think it's comforting for her to have those four walls and have her own little space. I mean, God, Elle was four, right? And obsessed with the crib and wanted her own crib. So it's not unusual for a 2-year-old to also feel like that's cool and comforting too. So yeah.
I think I give you a gold star for it personally.
Thank you. Taking
the initiative.
Okay. Well, tell me if I get a gold star for this one.
Okay.
The other update this week is that Cece has mastered vocal fry.
Vocal fry.
Like, girl, yes, right? Like that.
Do you want to explain what vocal fry is for those who are not in the know?
Yes. It's that way of speaking using the lowest tone or register of your voice. And it's kind of like a guttural, like breathy sound. Mm-hmm. You know, you heard it with a lot of like the Kardashians, I think. They're like, oh, yes. You know, that kind of speak.
Yeah, it's just an affectation or a type of speech. It's often negatively attributed to women only. And there was like a whole uproar about vocal fry with newscasters and like podcasters and all that stuff. And then someone pointed out that Ira Glass uses a lot of vocal fry. So it's a fraught topic. But
it is.
It's just a way of speaking. It's just one way of expressing yourself, but it sounds like Cece's doing it now.
Yes. Well, see, some people, it's part of the way they speak. It's natural and normal. Mm-hmm. And it's also become parodied,
yes.
Right? So
yeah.
It done with an intention, often to be funny. So this cartoon that Elle has been watching, it's called Captain Underpants. I'm also embarrassed that I let my kids watch Captain Underpants, but you got to do what you got to do in 2021. And one of these characters, this girl, she's this elementary school girl, speaks with vocal fry. It's part of her character. She's got this big, massive head of hair that she's very proud of. And the funny thing about her is she doesn't say hair. She says har. You know,
sure,
har. And one of the things she says, instead of, oh, my God, she goes, oh, my har. Oh, my har. And Elle has picked up on this, and it's hilarious. Out of nowhere, I just heard her do this impression, and the way she does it, she like mimics her the facial expressions, everything. It's really funny. And she was going around doing it, and of course, who picks up on it when her big sister does it?
Little sister.
And I could not believe that how well she mimicked it. She was like, oh my har, oh my har. And it's so cute. And then what I realized is she didn't know that Elle was saying, oh, my har.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, three separate
words. She was
just
mimicking the sounds. Yeah. And so what she started saying was, mama har, daddy har. So now she walks around just out of the blue. She'll just be playing. And all of a sudden she's like, mama har, daddy har. And I just crack up.
That's really funny.
It's like, kids are funny. So that's my kid's big accomplishment this week that I wanted to share with y'all.
Got a mini Kardashian.
Yes, yes. That's it for us. Should we take a break and come back with our special segment?
I think we should. I'm a dork.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back and we've got this week's special segment, Throwback. And Laura, you are up. It's your turn to tell a story from your past that has some bearing on how you are parenting now.
Yes.
What do you have for us?
Well, I was going to tell a different story, but then last week you told your amazing brush with fame story about your getting an acting agent.
It was a very light brush with fame.
What year was that? Like 90, you said
94.
94. Okay, mine is coming at you from 1996. So I did mention that maybe my mom would come on and tell her side of the story, but apparently she's too tired from watching my toddler all morning. So she's off taking a nap, and I'm going to just tell my version of the story.
Okay.
All right. So it was 1996. I was in Fresno, California, where I was growing up, and I was looking in the newspaper, the Fresno Bee. Do you remember when you'd look in the newspaper for stuff like movie times and
Yes. Job listings.
All kinds of information that you might need was in this physical paper that arrived every morning at your door. And mm-hmm. on this fateful day in 1996, I saw that there was an event happening the next day called Model Search International.
Ooh.
Yes. They said they were looking for girls between the ages of 12 and 25 who had a fresh look.
Okay. How old were you?
I was 14, like freshly 14.
fresh as you can get.
Exactly. And, you know, at the time I was like a nerdy kid who memorized Latin names for clouds, you know, but I had these big googly eyes. I still have them. But, you know, like I was especially gaunt back then. So like the eyes were big anime googly eyes. I thought like, is that a fresh look? Like maybe, right?
Were you imagining that the modeling would be like runway modeling or pictures taken for the Macy's catalog?
Oh, it was not catalog modeling, Shauna.
Oh, okay. Okay. I just had to check.
How could you? No. Yeah. So Model Search International claimed that it was for both runway and print, but high fashion print.
Ooh, high fashion. Okay.
And they were trying to find new talent for all the big talent agencies, right? Wilhelmina, Ford, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I went to my mom, the doctor, very practical woman who to this day doesn't know how to put on eye makeup. And I said, like, I want to go to this model search thing. And she said to me, like, do you really want to be a model? And let me remind you, it was 1996. Cindy Crawford had House of Style. Mm-hmm. The Fashion Cafe had just opened in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I wanted to be a model.
That's the best lifestyle. Hello.
Yeah, supermodels were like such a thing in the mid-90s. So I was like, yeah duh, Mom. Like, I want to be a model. And so I thought she was just going to be like, no way. Like, I'm not going to do, you know, this is a waste of time. Basically, tell me that it was stupid. But she said, sure, I'll take you. And I was very taken aback by that at first.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't know why. It was upon later reflection that I realized, like, this was right after my parents had gotten divorced. And I think my mom and dad were, like, in a cold war over, like, who is going to be the cooler parent. So I think my mom did a calculation at that point and was like, well, she wants to do this. Let's do it, right?
Yeah.
So the next night, we went to the Ramada Inn off of Highway 41.
Fancy.
Yeah, Ballroom A or whatever. I don't remember the name of it. We went to one of the ballrooms where you showed up and they give you like a questionnaire and you put in like all your stats, height, weight, all that stuff. And then there are all these...
Hat size. They always ask for hat size.
Oh, God, I don't remember that. They probably did. And I probably was like, oh. Like, what is that? Who cares? Who wears hats? But there were also all these questions on the bottom that were like, what's your favorite makeup brand? I was like, ChapStick? Oh. Like, what are your favorite clothing brands? And I think I like was like, my mom buys all my clothes. I do remember they asked for your favorite magazine. And I remember this very specifically. I wrote down The New Yorker.
No, you didn't.
I sure did. And now I realize that this was like market research, right? They're just like trying to get information from us. But at the time, I like really thought that my quirky, offbeat answers would like set me apart. They'd be like, oh, this is this is a smart kid. She reads long form journalism. But so then after we filled out our forms, they had us like all line up in like groups of 10, just standing there getting judged by these people. Who knows who these people were? And when I went to go line up in front of the whole crowd, like I was wearing like overalls and a t-shirt. I wasn't dressed up at all. I didn't have any makeup on. I look to the left of me and I see like girls with their hair perfectly curled in mini skirts and like thigh highs. Look to the right of me, same exact thing. And I realized like all those other girls look like Cher from Clueless. And I look like Ty from Clueless before the makeover. But somehow they like picked me out of the group, right? We had numbers on us, like, I don't know, like pigs at a fair or something, right? But they're like, number 73, you're on to the next round. I was beside myself. I was so excited.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the next round was. You had to take professional modeling photos. Does that sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
And you got invited to go to an exclusive scouting event in Beverly Hills later that month, right?
Okay.
And of course, they give you a list of photographers they recommend and makeup artists they recommend that were very pricey.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, so after I got chosen, I was so excited. And then like a week later, I heard my mom talking on the phone to her friend. And I overheard her saying like how expensive these photos were going to cost and like how you had to pay a registration fee for this event. And suddenly I was like, oh my gosh, like, mom, is this like too expensive? Should we not be doing this? And my mom didn't realize I had overheard. And she like snapped back into cool mom mode and was like, no, it's totally fine. It'll be fun. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I got my photos taken. We went to another motel in Fresno. I got my makeup done so heavily. I'd never seen myself with that much makeup on and got all these black and white photos taken and, you know, probably paid like, who knows, hundreds of dollars to get this done, I imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, but I love the photos. Oh my God. I love them. We got extra prints. I like gave them to friends at my school. So obnoxious. Oh my God. But then it was time to drive down to LA to go to this exclusive modeling event, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I drove down to LA with my mom and my stepdad. My stepdad, who is like 7 feet tall, he's this like giant mm-hmm. Scotsman. And mm-hmm. I remember my mom telling me that we should like stand next to him. My stepdad's name is Neil, that I should like stand next to Neil so that all the scouts thought that he was my biological dad so that they would like think I was about to have a massive growth spurt and just become like a 6 foot tall person instead of I think I was like 5'6". I think I was the height I am now. I'm 5'6".
Yeah.
So we went down and this was in like it was like in a Hilton, Shauna. It wasn't in like some dinky Fresno motel. Like it was in a real hotel.
Fancy.
Fancy, right? We were in Beverly Hills. Oh my God. We valeted our car. I remember that.
Mm.
Valeted the minivan. And there were a lot of girls there, a ton of girls. And I was trying to dress the part this time. I had gone to the Limited 2.
Okay.
And I got my little like pink patent leather mini skirt and I got a baby doll tee and I had like my midriff showing and I walked around this Hilton like trying to show off my little baby stomach, 14-year-old stomach. And they had like a thing where you like walk the runway and then you like walk past all these like agent scouts or whatever and you give them your headshot and then they call your name if they're interested. And at the end of the day, there was actually one agency that was interested in me. I think it was ING Models. I don't even know if that's like a modeling agency anymore. But
mm-hmm.
I remember they were in New York, like they were a legit modeling agency. And so I was super excited and they said like, okay, so now what we need you to do is go home, take more pictures and send them to us because we need to see more. Like we can't see enough just from this first round.
Oh.
And that's what my mom was like, I'm not paying for more shit. she's like, I can take the pictures myself. It'll be super, like, it'll be super easy and super fun. So my mom gets out her like point and shoot and she styles me in some kind of like, I think I was wearing like a halter from Pacific Sunwear. My stomach was still out, another mini skirt. And my mom just had me like traipse around our yard as she took pictures. And I remember when we got them like developed, like it's so funny looking back because like they wanted to see me like standing against a wall in like a couple outfits mm-hmm. or something, you know, like they wanted to just see what I looked like. But I was like doing all these artsy photos. Like we had this massive stand of bamboo in our yard at the time. Mm-hmm. So I'm like in between the bamboo, you know, doing a pose and it's out of focus because my mom's using her like cheap ass point and shoot camera. So we mail these off to New York. I mean, it's so funny to think about, like, nowadays you would just, like, email them the pictures, right? Send a Dropbox link. But we had to, like, physically put them in the mail and wait.
Mm-hmm.
And about a week later, my mom got a call. And what was reported back to me is that they're not interested because I was an inch too short and 10 pounds too heavy.
Oh, God. What?
What a messed up thing to tell a young teenager.
Oh, my God.
Also, in retrospect, why did my mom tell me that? Like, why True. Did she actually pass that information on? I think she probably thought she was like nipping the whole thing in the bud.
Oh, like there's nothing she can do about her height. So
yeah,
guess this journey is over.
Except then she just starts talking. My mom sometimes has no filter. And like, I was like, is there any way I'll get taller? Like, maybe I'll go through a growth spurt. And she was like, well, you know, for my patients who have extreme short stature, we do give them human growth hormone around your age. And it does give them like an inch or two of extra height. And I was like, let's do that. You can prescribe it for me. Get me some human growth hormone.
Oh my God.
And that is like the moment she snapped out of like trying to be the cool mom. And she was like, you are absolutely insane. If you think I'm going to give you human growth hormone so that you can be a model. And yeah, that was the end of my modeling career.
Well, I have to say, I'm really glad she nipped that in the bud, because there are some stage moms who would 100% seek out human growth hormone for their kids to
yeah.
make it.
Oh, for sure. And that's part of the reason I'm telling this story, not just because it's a funny story, but like, you know, she was trying to be the cool mom and she really was mm-hmm. indulging me. If she was here, she like, so I've asked her about it. I was like, so what do you remember about the modeling thing? And she has like a pretty negative memory of it. She thinks it was a complete scam. I think it was like an 80% scam. Like, it was a money-making thing. Like, they made a lot of money off of it. They probably got commissions from like the photographers, and 99% of the girls who went through this whole thing probably did not get any modeling career out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do think there were like real modeling agents there, or scouts, right? They can't just like pretend, use the Ford name or the Wilhelmina name, right? Like, you have to mm-hmm. actually, I mean, I guess they could, but it seems like it would be pretty blatant of them to.
Yeah. They probably sent their assistants to their assistants.
Oh, for sure.
Out to the Beverly Hills Hilton to check you guys out.
Yeah. I mean, it was probably a great thing for these agencies, because it's like free opportunity to see if there is anyone good. You know, like maybe every once mm-hmm. in a while you do end up with a random person like Charlize Theron. I think she was, quote unquote, discovered in like a bank or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, 90% a scam. But my mom, like, still thinks it's, she was like, oh, it was such a scam. And I was like, well, why did you, you know, let me do it? And she was like, there was mm-hmm. no stopping you. Like, you were completely obsessed. You were completely convinced that it was, like, your big break. Like, I couldn't stop you from doing that. So, mm-hmm. you know, she indulged me, basically.
Yeah.
And I think it was a fun experience. I think that one thing I would change is if I were in her shoes, I would not have told me the inch too short, 10 pounds too heavy thing, because that fucked yes. me up for like years.
Oh, really?
Well, I really thought I was 10 pounds too fat. Like, I really, really did.
Mm-hmm.
And we can post like my modeling photos to Instagram. I still have them.
Yes.
I actually found yes. like the original bag of like the photos, like the little like zipper bag. They probably sold me that for an extra $50. Like, a bag oh, yeah. to store your prints in.
Mm-hmm.
I was not too fat. I was very yes. thin, very, very thin. But I was convinced I was fat for a long time. And I was convinced that fat was a bad thing, too. So, you know, mm-hmm. that's a whole other thing. It took me a long time, and probably only until recently, where I've really understood like body acceptance and that like one size does not fit all. But back in the mid-90s, I thought I had to look like that heroin chic or whatever.
Yes, that was very popular back then.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that that agency went out of their way to call and report this to your mom. Like, I feel like nowadays, if agents aren't interested, they just silently pass on people. I mean, at least in the acting world, it's not like, why did they have to make that call and be like, you're too fat for us, sorry.
It's possible she called to follow up too, now that I think about it, you know, because we were waiting. And I was some, you know, starry eyed kid from Fresno. I didn't know that no news is bad news type thing, you know.
Oh, I see. Yeah. You know, it's probably a stock phrase they use too. An inch too short, 10 pounds too overweight, you know, just probably they tell everyone that.
Probably.
I'm sorry that stuck with you.
Yeah, me too. I am too. I feel like I probably would have gotten that message one way or another, because a lot of girls do, but that's where I got it from. But I have to say that I'm fine now. So
good. Yes, you are.
And I don't think I'm too short. I think 5'6 is a perfectly fine height. But yeah, yes. I never became a model.
Well, it's never too late, Laura.
Sure.
I think you could work a runway better than the best.
I don't know if runway is my jam. I was watching America's Next Top Model while I was third trimester pregnant and like couldn't handle anything that was requiring of brain power. And I don't think runway is my forte. I think I could really rock a smize though.
Yeah, I think you could do that.
All right. Mel, Ford, Wilhelmina, you guys call me up if you're looking for a 38-year-old
mother of two.
Mother of two. I got some really sweet stretch marks and C-section scars
to show off the fashions
that will just sell your clothes like no one's business.
Oh. It should be that way, though. Those are the people wearing clothes. I mean, come on.
Fair. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's it for me. Shall we take a break and then come back with our BFPs and BFNs?
Let's do it.
Okay.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Hey! And we are back. So we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFN.
What? No.
Yeah.
I guess it has to happen sometimes.
Yeah, it does occasionally happen. I was taking a shower the other day and I got out and I heard the absolute most inconsolable screaming, crying from Cece that I maybe have ever heard.
Oh, no.
I mean, she screams and cries a lot, right?
Yeah, I was going to say that's a high bar.
Really high bar. The girl's very vocal. Yeah. But this was different, right? Aww. I was listening to it for a while and I knew Steve was in with her, but definitely in my mind, I was like, oh, wow, something must have happened. Mm-hmm. And it's not getting any better. Like it just kind of kept going. I was drying off, putting on lotion and everything. And I finally came out and I was like, what is going on? And apparently, Steve and Cece were looking out her window. Mm-hmm. She has a bookshelf, a low bookshelf, one of those IKEA ones with the cubes.
Yeah, Kallax.
Yes, one of the Kallax under her window. And she likes to stand on it and look out the window. And one of us will stand next to her and, you know, help her with her balance and everything. And Steve was standing with her and he went to adjust the curtain or something and wasn't there when she lost her balance and tried to catch herself on her lamp.
Oh.
Which I had recently got her a new lamp because the first one broke. It'd fallen on the floor way too many times. So I'd recently got a new one on Amazon and put it together and put it up there and it was fine. But she fell and her hand landed on the light bulb, which was apparently extremely hot.
What?
Hot to the point that it scalded her hand.
Oh, no.
Yes. I had no idea. So I was like, oh, my God, I bought like a death trap for my daughter's room. I didn't know. I guess it wasn't like an LED light bulb.
Yeah.
It was just whatever came with the little lamp. And so her hand, like near her thumb, like kind of the webbing between her thumb and her index finger, just got extremely burned and it was bright red and she could not calm down. She was in so much pain and so upset. And Steve was like trying to put her hand under cold water and she was like resisting and screaming, no, no, no. And he tried to get an ice pack and put it on. And it's like, no. And our boo-boo bunny. And like, she just would not allow anyone to touch it. And we're like, we need to put something cold on it. Yeah, to stop the burning and the pain. And she just wouldn't let anyone help her. And that went on for a while. I mean, at least 30 to 45 minutes. She was really, really, really upset. And I tried, Steve tried, we all tried to help her and she just wouldn't. And she finally calmed down and just still wouldn't let anyone help her with the burn.
Yeah.
It looked really red and we could see that there were welts starting to form on her hand. But she started to be in a better mood and everything. And the next day, it was just like blisters on her skin.
Ouch.
Poor thing. And so I was like, oh my God, we got to get that lamp out of there right away. So
no
I went
kidding.
On Amazon and immediately bought a new lamp. Because it wasn't like I could just easily change the light bulb. It was such a small little desk lamp that it was like almost like a candelabra type light bulb. It wasn't just a regular one you could screw in. So it's not like I could easily change it. So I'm like, fuck that lamp. I'm just getting her a completely new lamp. We can screw in an LED.
I wonder what kind of light bulb that was that got so hot.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish I knew and I wish I could tell people, but yeah, I don't know. Like candelabra is like what comes to mind. Like it was a very certain small threading.
So okay, it's the little thread and it's like shaped almost like a candle. That's what you're
yes.
like. Yeah, I know what yes. type you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently it gets so hot that it can scald a toddler's skin.
How terrible.
I know.
Poor thing. So were you ever able to like get some first aid on it or?
No, she wouldn't let us. Like we gave her a bag of ice when she was feeling better, but you know, you can never keep a bag of ice on a toddler. That's an impossible dream. So no, not really. It just blistered up and the blisters popped and just kind of, you know, started to peel. And then she was curious about that.
Oh, God,
like,
of
chewing
course.
On that crap. You know. Like, oh, God, stop chewing on your blisters. Oh, God. But
I got a bad burn a couple months ago, and I still have like a pretty dark mark from it. So dumb. I was like trying to stir something in the oven. Like I had a sheet pan full of potatoes or something. And I went to like try to move them around in the oven. And I tapped the top of the oven with my wrist. And yeah, got all blistered.
Ouch.
And gross. It hurt. Yeah. So I feel for Cece. Poor thing.
I know. It's so hard to hear him cry like that. And it really is a reminder that the cries of immediate pain and like need are so different from like these little cries.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, of like the I need a snack cry.
Yes.
Is just so different.
Totally.
But she's doing better now.
I'm glad to hear.
She's got a new lamp. So.
And she's got a new hobby, chewing on her blisters.
A new self-soothing technique to help herself put herself to sleep in her crib. God. All right. So that's me. What do you got for us?
All right. I have a BFP.
Oh, good.
Okay. So my BFP is plant nurseries.
Oh, okay. Like somewhere you buy plants?
Exactly. Stores for plants. And it's my BFP this week because I wanted to buy some spring plants. I wanted to get some tomatoes and veggies for my veggie garden. And we put that fence around my, did I mention this? We finally have a fence up around the death trap portion of my yard. So it's no longer a death trap. So
good.
I'm like finally able to start planting plants in that area now that it's done. So I wanted to go pick out some plants and we needed to get my toddler outside for the day. And so we're like, let's do a family trip to the nursery. It's just down the street. And my toddler, he was like so resisting it. Didn't want to get dressed. Didn't want to do anything. You know how it is. Like anytime not wanting to go out, suddenly playing independently with his toys. You know, like, come on. But thankfully, I was like, okay, you can stay here with grandma. I'll go with baby brother by myself. And my mom was like, no, he's going to be so sad if he doesn't go along. Like, you need to force him to go. I was like, all right. So I get him dressed, get him in the car. We go with Corey. My mom and stepdad actually came. So it was like a whole family thing. And my toddler loved it. Like,
really?
It was so fun for him. First of all, you have a cart to push around, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can push the cart around. Then he got to like, I was like, oh, will you get that plant for me and put it in the cart? So he like got to feel really important. He was like picking up the plants and putting them in the cart. And it was great for like talking about colors and shapes and stuff. There were like chimes to discuss and butterflies around. And, you know, he was really into the orange flowers and he kept saying like, get orange flower. So like we picked up one of the orange flowers to take home.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we learned some of the plant names. Like now he, it's so cute. I have to see if I can get it on tape. He says ranunculus now.
How cute.
But it's like nanunkanux. So like, you know, but he now knows, like, I'll point up like I bought some and I was like the other day that we have them in the yard now. I'm like, oh, what are those? And he's like, nanankadis. But it was a really, really great outing and it's all outdoors. So it's like a COVID safe thing you can do. So I'm like all about it. That now like plant nurseries are a place to go with toddlers.
Totally. I would be afraid I'd go in there and spend like $600 because I haven't been to a store and spent any money. Like, give me everything.
Yeah. Well, the nice thing is that because you have a toddler with you, your time is limited and like you can't quite do all the browsing you want to do because they're like, they want to go down the other aisle. You know, like you're like, oh, this is where the succulents are. I want to go down here. And they're like, no. We're going down that one. So, yeah. Oh, and he got to like ride in the cart because it's like one of those, you know, they have like flatbed kind of carts. So he climbed up and got to ride it. It was like going to Disneyland.
Exciting. You know? Yeah. Flower Disneyland.
for coronavirus times, at least.
Oh, how our lives are different.
Yeah. But yeah. And so now I have a bunch of new plants and we had a really fun outing. So
yay. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I put the baby in like my Moby wrap and he slept the whole time. And
awesome.
It was a nice time. It was a pleasant afternoon.
Awesome.
And that's it. I think that might be it for our episode too.
I think it is. Listeners, if you have anything you want to share with us, like maybe you had a brush with fame that you want to tell us about, you know we want to hear it. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can always include a voice memo. We love those, to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, join our Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so answer the two membership questions to join, and I will send you straight through to all the great conversations we're having in there. Lots of very cute baby photos, and also some really like insightful discussions about parenting and just TTC and all kinds of interesting stuff. Huh? Love our group.
Yes, love it. Love it so much. And if you love our show, please rate and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. That's so helpful for us. Thank you. And spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our podcast is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.